who are disappointed at the delay of fulfillment in God's promises. We read from the second verse, "And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it." As we all know, this is God's plan of the ages, the knowledge of it that we were privileged to learn and know, and expect its fulfillment, but seemingly it is delayed. Actually, brethren, that God's promises are never delayed. He has his own time arranged, and no one of his promises will ever be delayed. But we are humans, and our life is short. We are therefore feel that we like to see it fulfilled as quickly as possible. That there will be some who will feel that way, that God's promises are delayed, is manifested from the third verse, which reads, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." This is the words that Saint Paul is used in this epistle to the Hebrews under the similar circumstances as it is provided or manifested here in the prophecy of Habakkuk. We find that the Hebrews, they lost their original zeal. They were relaxed. They were taking it easy because time has not fulfilled quickly what they were probably expected to happen. They lost their first zeal and their willingness to suffer for God's work and God's promises. Now, we read in the 10th chapter and the 32nd verse, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used." They had, brethren, originally been very zealous. They were willing to sacrifice and give all their earthly belongings for what God has promised to them at the end of the road. But as the time passed, they get tired and not so willing to sacrifice, not so willing to work hard and put up with all the sufferings. Saint Paul further reveals in his letter that they lost confidence in God's promises. In the original Greek word here used and translated confidence, it could be well translated boldness. The word is parousia, which carries the thought of boldness. But boldness will not come without faith and confidence. Therefore, that is the reason that it is translated confidence. Going back into the prophecy of Habakkuk, he says, though it tarry, wait for it. In other words, lose not your confidence, that it will surely come and not lie. God's promises are sure. They never fail. Now, also, they lost their zeal and drew back, and they were not as active as they were before. From the 12th chapter and the 12th verse of the same epistle to the Hebrews, we read, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. In the original, this word, feeble knees, could very well be translated paralyzed knees. For this is exactly the word used for paralysis, is a Greek word pronounced the same way exactly as we do here in the English language. And so, this disappointment in the promises of God brings on paralysis, a creeping paralysis, gradually neutralize them and put them out of action. And so St. Paul says, wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down and the paralyzed or feeble knees. From verse 36 of this 10th chapter to the Hebrews, we read, for ye have need of patience to do the will of God, and ye might receive the promise. In all the dealings of God with his people, we see the necessity of patience. God's promises, as we shall see, was never fulfilled to anybody immediately, at once, when they wanted it. It was in a life of faith to all of God's people all through the ages. No one has ever received the promises in this present life. So they all had to be faithful to the end and patiently hold their obedience to the Lord in faith for what God has promised, it will surely come to them. Now, that there will be a delay and a disappointment, it is manifested in many other parts of the Bible. Do you remember the parable of the virgins, the foolish and the wise virgins? They all went out to welcome the bridegroom, but a delay occurred, and they all went to sleep. Some, they had oil with them, and others did not. But what I'm trying to bring to you is the delay. As we have said, actually, there is no delay in God's promises. His due time, will all things will come as he planned. But in his own wisdom, did not see fit to reveal to us the exact hour. And so it is for us to exercise faith, patiently waiting for the fulfillment, never to be disappointed or feel that they will lie or will not come to as God has promised. The tendency is after we are in the truth for so long, for so many years, to relax, to take it easy, not to be so zealous. Why working so hard? We have a long time probably to wait. We might as well take it easy. And if we stop to realize, brethren, what has developed the different denominations of Christendom in what they are today, it is time. Things did not come as they were expecting it probably at once. And where was originally that zeal, the willingness to sacrifice everything they had in God's service, it developed into a form of godliness, as St. Paul puts it in the second epistle to Timothy, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse, denying the power thereof. A form of godliness is the disposition to take religion as a part of one's life and not his complete whole life. To take religion as an obligation to be performed, like a bill to be paid off, whether it be an electric or a gas bill or any other, and once you paid it, you forget about it. You took a load off your shoulders and you relax. You feel free until the other bill will come along, and then another bill to be paid. That is, brethren, the spirit of Christendom in our day. They are religious, yes. They have their names, whether Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, or what have you. And they all feel that it is their obligation to go to church on Sunday, pay their contribution to the church, and they have a set amount weekly or monthly to be paid. And once it's paid, then they feel free for the rest of their life to spend it as they please, and they feel clear in their conscience that God has nothing against them. They fulfill their obligation. That is, brethren, the tendency of present day form of godliness without the power thereof. One to perform religion as a duty, a part of their life. But that is not, it should never be, with a true Christian who is consecrated to do the will of God. Religion with us, it is not a part of our life, it is our whole life. We have not, and will never, should do, so set aside so many hours a day to work for the Lord, so much to give, and feel that once we paid and once we put those hours in, that we are free to spend the rest of our time as it pleases us. A consecrated child of God, it belongs to the Lord 24 hours a day. And whatever he has, it is all his. And we will never set a limit as to how much we will serve the Lord. We will use every opportunity that it comes before us, and every nickel we have, we will spend it at the Lord's service. Ours is a 24-hour day, year-round consecration to the Lord, daily seeking to find privileges and opportunities to serve Him, never resting if there is one that comes to us to serve Him. St. Paul, he never set a limit as to how much time he will spend in the service of the Lord. He did not set time to preach the gospel at 2 hours a day, or 3 hours a day, or 6 hours a day. He was probably speaking from morning till night and past midnight many times, as we read in the book of Acts, as in one occasion someone fell asleep because of late hour. Now, the emphasis in these words, the just shall live by faith, it is in the word live. The just shall live by faith, in contrast to dying and death. One may live naturally a good life, healthy, but it is not always so that he lives spiritually. For one can draw back and not be as healthy and living spiritually. Faith is the one that inspires the Christian's life. And a life inspired and sustained by faith, it will be zealous, active, manifesting itself in every way in the Lord's service. One who is alive in Christ, he will be active in the Lord's work. He will seek to find opportunities for service, not only the ones that will come to him by themselves, but he will seek to find opportunities and serve the Lord. One who is alive in the truth, he will not look out in the window to see the weather. If it rains, he stays home. If it's all right and is no excuse, he will go to the meeting. No, but he will go to the meeting regardless of the weather. Why? Because he lives. He has faith. His life is inspired by faith. This, brethren, is the thought behind the 11th chapter of Hebrews as it is presented to us by St. Paul. He brings to us these ancient worthies as an illustration of living by faith. People who are devoted to God, and God's promises to them were not spiritual, but they were earthly. And yet, in all their lives, His promises were never fulfilled to them. Abraham received the promise of God that all this land that he saw, it was his and to his seed. And yet, all his life, he traveled and lived in tents without owning one foot of ground. Let us, brethren, place ourselves in the place of Abraham. He was a natural man. He wanted to own that land. He wanted to see the promise of God being fulfilled in his day. How we would have felt if we were in his place? What we would have told God? Why, Lord, here I am, so many years in this land, I'm grown old and ready to die. Is your promises will never be fulfilled to me? Are they not true? But what we read in the Bible, Abraham never lost faith in what God has promised. He was faithful to the end. And he realized that God's promises will be fulfilled, if not now in his day, in the days to come. For our Lord Jesus said, Abraham saw my day, and he rejoiced. Saw the day of the Lord, of his kingdom, and the resurrection of the dead. Therefore, he never lost confidence and faith in God's promises. St. Paul brings all these ancient words to our attention as examples of a living faith. Ones who were willing to suffer, to sacrifice, to die in God's service, being sure that God's promises will come true. Now, St. Paul brings a quotation from the prophecy of Habakkuk, which is not in the common translation of our Bible, the King James Version, but it is contained in the translation of what is called the Septuagint, or translation by the 70 in the original Greek language. Where it says, and if any one draws back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. Drawn back means one who retreats, one who is not active, one who is not as zealous, not necessarily that he goes back into the world, but retreats, draws back. Therefore, the Lord said, my soul has no pleasure in him. And to tie up his subject in harmony with the spirit of the ancient words, that they were not of the ones who drew back, he said, in the 11th chapter and the 13th verse, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And then on the 14th verse, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Now here is, brethren, tying it up with this prophecy of Habakkuk, if anyone draws back, my soul have no pleasure in him. St. Paul says, these, the ancient worthies, if they were mindful of the country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And we find, brethren, that they had opportunity to return. Abraham, it wasn't long after he entered the land of Canaan, he went hungry from the famine that was on the earth. An ordinary man, he would have thought of the country from which he came out. And he would have thought he'll go back where he was. There he had plenty, and there he'd go back. But Abraham, or any other of the ancient worthies, never thought of returning back to where they came out from. Because if they did, St. Paul would have never wrote, truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they come out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. Brethren, this is an important thing for each and every one of us. We should never retreat, draw back. This in the original Greek, if you read it in the diglot, instead of draw back, it's translated, if anyone shrink back. That is, he's not going forward. He will have the disapproval of God. We should never shrink, but always ahead. A very good illustration is, for each one of us to remember, we're living in the world where every living thing must grow. And if it ceases to grow, it will go back and disintegrate, retreat. You will never see a tree that it will not grow every year and stay alive. Even if it is a little, an inch or so, it must grow. And so it is with us as new creatures. We must see to it always to grow. As new creatures, to grow. For if we retreat and shrink, it will not be to our advantage. The Lord, St. Paul said, if they were mindful, they had the opportunity to have returned. And let us remember this, brethren. That is the reason that we are here yet. The Lord gives the opportunity to everyone who wishes to go back. The Lord will furnish that opportunity. But let us be, as St. Paul said, for we are not of those of them that draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Let that be applied to each and every one of us, not of those who shrink, who draw back, but of them who believe and keep on to the saving of the soul. Let us have this thought contained in the scripture. If ye continue in my word, continue means continually being faithful and obedient is to what we have accepted to be the Lord's will. May the Lord have his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Patius. Now let us all rise. We'll ask Brother Patience to ask the Lord's blessing on the service to follow. Let's all rise.
Our dear Heavenly Father, with grateful hearts we bow before thy throne of grace to thank thee for this blessed privilege we have of assembling here in thy name, to have fellowship with one another and with thee, and to hear thy word. We thank thee for the privilege we have of being thy children, of consecrating ourselves in thy service, and we pray, dear Father, that thou fill us with thy Holy Spirit, that thou increase our faith, that thy word may be fruitful in our hearts, that in our lives be always to thine honor and glory. Bless the brother who will speak to us now. Give him words of wisdom and prepare our hearts in a receptive attitude that thy word may develop us and keep us faithful to the end. Now we pray also thy blessing upon thy people the world over, wherever they are. His favors rest in Jesus' name. Amen.